May the Lord help us to commence today with our first hymn, number 25. Number 25. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with thy all-quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Hymn number 25.
Most holy word of God, three portions. Firstly, Psalm 4, And then we'll turn to Isaiah's prophecy in the 50th chapter. And then just a few verses out of John's Gospel, chapter 6. But firstly, Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. O, both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And then turning to Isaiah's prophecy in the 50th chapter. Isaiah's prophecy in the 50th chapter. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh my morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear when I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. And turning to John's Gospel, just a few verses there. Reading from verse 15, John's Gospel chapter 6, reading from verse 15 down to and including 21. John's Gospel chapter 6, reading from verse 15 down to and including 21. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain by himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, once again thou hast spared each of our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts on this another Sabbath morning. Thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. But as we've been favoured so to gather by thy sparing mercies, may be found in thy courts this day, humbled under the mighty hand of God, seeing what we are before one that is thrice holy. And if we have that view of one thrice holy, we shall have to say of ourselves, shall we not, I am vile. And even as the apostle of old, to say that we're the chiefest of sinners. And so may it please you, to reveal to us each our great need. And what a mercy if it is so. Will not then the blessed Spirit, the Spirit of truth, lead as such a one and reveal to such a one Christ in all his beauty? Christ in all his sufficiency. Yea, even to behold the Lamb of God, even as John. Ah, the Lamb of God once slain. Oh, to view that one. Yes, and when there's that view by faith unto some poor sinner of that one that truly did lay down his life for many, they might see, yes, even for that poor sinner, that thou didst condescend to be a man and die. That thou didst bear their sins. Ah, yes, and bore that punishment due to those sins. And was it not the sword of divine justice, the wrath of God? But oh, to see one that truly did, through his sufferings, death and merits, it was a finished work, and that the law was satisfied in every jot and tittle. Oh, to be brought to that place, and shall it not be so, that poor sinner will tremble there, tremble and rejoice. Ah, as that mourner in Zion, when he looks upon one whom they have pierced. Ah, yes, that it was their sins that nailed thee to the accursed tree, that it was their sins that brought upon thee the wrath of God. There was their sins that he had to bear, awakened sword, which we read of in Zechariah. Ah, that sort of divine justice. And so do work in each one's heart mightily. May we know what it is to be that beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. And so as we're brought to another Sabbath day, I'll make what teaches each to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, and to realise of a truth that if we were spared many years here upon the earth, what are they compared to the unnumberless years of eternity? They're but as nothing. And so we plead, may that be wrung out of each one's heart by necessity. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Leave us not to a form of godliness which hath no power. Leave us not to be just content with our coming and going to the house of God. Leave us not to be satisfied with the fact that we're found under perhaps a denomination or a name, a family name. We must be brought to this, that I may be, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith in Christ. So we plead, oh, lead us each forth with that right way, that we might go to that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. But oh, we plead for each one as they've entered into thy courts this day, and we would not be unmindful of those that are away, perhaps taking rest and change for a moment, or those duties detain them, or whatever it may be. Perhaps those one now in the home, Lord, we plead for them. Go to them where they are, and likewise favour them in their souls. For thou art not confined to place or means or mode, but also any that may be upon a bed of affliction. Afflictions must come Yes, afflictions must come. So we plead for those in their afflictions. And perhaps it is a bed of affliction, a hospital bed even this day. Thou canst also make that place a Bethel to them. And that very, perhaps even a hospital ward as one has found it so those years ago. Even as the place where that is meet with this poor sinner. And it was holy ground. So remember one and another. But all as we've been favoured to gather here. Lord, look upon us each. Look upon us each in mercy. From the youngest to the oldest. Lord, we each have a never dying soul. An eternity before us each. Take us each in hand then. And may we be found amongst those yet. Yes, to be found amongst those wayfaring men. That are found in that world, thou dost bring them into that narrow way which leadeth unto life. And so may there be that hearing the voice of the shepherd. And what a mercy we read in thy word, as thou hast declared, I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. Remember each one according to their path and those cares and trials of life. And especially we think upon the young, and certainly what a day it is in which their lot is cast. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep them close to thee. Keep them in the hour of temptation. Give parents wisdom to answer those many things which are taught in our day, thrust upon our young, while they're thrust upon us each. Where evil is called good and good is called evil. Give them wisdom to answer and to counter all these things which are vile and contrary to thy laws and thy word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so to remember the parents, and also as regards these dark and difficult days, each one according to their providences. And certainly, perhaps they may be yet having to prove, like our godly forefathers, that truly the gold and silver are thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Some of us we've proved it so, but oh, what a mercy, when there's a proving that thou art a God of providence, and a God of grace, a God for time and a God for eternity. Ah, that one that can make ways where there seems to be no way. Ah, yes, and when we think of those accounts of old, and certainly in the days of the prophet Elijah, all the wonders in those provisions for him. Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And remember those that bear the heat and burn the other day, whether it is a housewife and mother in the home, those in their varied scenes of workplaces and business, and yes, retirements. Lord, the busy scenes, the cares that come in a moment, the paths are overturned in a moment, and oh Lord, we often brought, are we not, to great stands, we know not what to do. Brought to a complete stop. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And oh, what a mercy when the poor sinner has to flee again and again to that one that is his refuge and his strength and his very present help in trouble. Or when he proves there is help laid upon one that is mighty. So remember each in the midst of life with all its attendant cares, those things which are hard to be understood. Ah, yes, and even as regards when that does cause affliction to come, oh, make us each willing in the day of thy power, and all those crooks in the lot, those cross providences, those things which, yes, we may come like Jacob of old and say, all these things are against me. but all to be able to say, thy will be done. Ah, yes, and by faith to say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth for the right way. Ah, for all must come, as a hymn writer put it. All must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. So whether it is affliction in the body, or affliction in circumstance, or those things which are, yes, the path is suddenly turned upside down, may we prove that all these things, thou dost appoint. Nothing happens by chance, and nothing is out of place. But all may we yet prove, each one of us, that these things thou hast appointed for our good, our soul's good, our eternal good. Yes, and we have to prove this, that our thoughts are not as thy thoughts, and thy ways are not as our ways. But all, to prove that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Remember each them we plead. Remember those in the even time of life that feel the mud wall cottage shake, heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, be unto them continually those everlasting arms. Oh, be unto them that one, the shepherd and bishop of their souls, that's borne them all the days of old, and has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And do remember thy true church, and we think of the church and people here in the little hills of Zion, how minished and brought low we are. And there's a knot in many a place. We see that leaven that creeps in, that begins to leaven the whole lump. But may we be found amongst those that ask for the old paths, be brought into those old paths and not forsake them. We don't mean just tradition of men, but that which is according to thy word. For those old paths are straight and narrow, not as man would have them, to seek to broaden them, to include this and to include that. And so we plead to remember them here and all that concerns them, and as a church and people, all may there be yet there to wrought in their midst. Whereby be those wrought upon to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold, the way to God. And are there none of thy dead elect in and around these parts, that thou hast an eternal favour towards, for their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, do yet hasten that time when thou wilt bring them in, constrain them to come in. Like those Greeks of old, with us we would see Jesus. Bring back the prodigals. Those that are turned aside, perhaps have gone into bypath meadows. Lord, thou canst make willing in the day of thy power. To return unto the Father's household. All smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we plead it for them here in each of the little hills of Zion and throughout this earthly bull. All that might yet see better days. We come often with that petition of Habakkuk. May it not be just vain repetition, but may it be known and felt in our own hearts also personally, as well as collectively. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, how we need that reviving in our own hearts, and that reviving in the churches, reviving in the nation. And as we would then plead for our nation, show our leaders what they ought to do. Turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Have mercy upon us. May there be a repealing yet of those laws which are so contrary to thy laws. In fact, they're an abomination in thy sight. And Lord, remember those war-torn areas of the world, And we think especially of Ukraine, we think also of the Middle East and thine ancient people there. Lord, thou dost reign. Thou dost reign. Oh, we at times we know not how to plead. But all men's hearts are in thy hands. Thou canst take this enemy and that enemy. Like it was in the days of the children of Israel when they were brought out of the land of Egypt in Egyptian bondage. Thou didst remove the chariot wheels from those chariots of the pursuers. Ah, thou art the same, and thou canst do it even in our day. So we plead, govern all these things. But may there be through these things, even there amongst thine ancient people, that's a moving in the heart and brought to see that the Messiah has come, that one that they truly despised and think nothing of, but the Messiah has come. So we plead, do work mighty in many hearts through these things, that it might be a considering of their latter end, and thereby brought to cry unto thee for mercy. But now, O Lord, we would thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours towards us. Thou hast brought us each hitherto. Thou hast maintained us each in our paths. Many mercies we've received at thy hands. In fact, we have to say they're more than can be numbered. And as we've been favoured so in those things as regards time and our pathway here below, we come to this. Man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And so we plead now, break the bread of life unto us. Do us each good and send an empty away. This poor one is but the instrument. The instrument. Be pleased if it could be thy will to pour into this empty earthen vessel that we may pour out. There might be a portion for the one that speaks and also for each that hear. And grant unto us each the hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. But Lord, give that strength. Strength in the body. Lord, we thank thee for that measure of strength given again. But oh, how we've felt utter weakness. But Lord, have we not proved thou art everlasting strength? And how we've had to look to thee, that truly is everlasting strength. And so we plead again, grant that strength in the inner man and the natural man. That we may be able to labour in thy name this day. And all we plead that thou hast get to thyself honour and glory and praise. So we would seek now to fall into thy hand. To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 529, 529. Sweet Jesus, how great is thy love, thy mercy and truth know no end, and all that are born from above shall find thee a permanent friend. Dear Saviour, enlighten my eyes, that I may thy wonders behold, contained in the law of the wise, too grand and too great to be told. Hymn 529.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, and read verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Psalm 4 and the 6th verse. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Some of us who look back to that time of our espousals, when we were dandled upon the knees, and it seemed every day there was that light and life and liberty. But all what we prove, the word of God declares, through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. With those tribulations, there shall be that trial of the faith, our faith, your faith, my faith. That trial of faith. We never thought it at the time, and neither gave any consideration to it. In fact, it was not in our thoughts. But perhaps like this poor one, you look back to those, that time, that season, when the Lord was pleased to reveal himself in love and mercy. When the Lord was pleased to speak peace and pardon into the soul. Yes, there had been that knowledge of darkness before. And perhaps in that way, well, it will be. When there are those that are yet dead, they know nothing of darkness or light. But those that are brought to fill their darkness, when that light shines within to reveal them what they are and what they have need of. There's a difference. When we were yet dead and unconcerned, we came and went from the house of God. And there was no light or dark. There was no risings high and sinkings low. There certainly was no trial of faith, for we had no faith, only apart from that which we thought we had, which was no more than that of the flesh. But there must be that trial of faith, and we read of it, do we not? In the first epistle, General of Peter, in that first chapter. And it speaks of that trial of faith. Yes, you read that first chapter there, but it speaks as regards that trial of faith. And that whereby there's that felt heaviness for a season. Through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So there will be that trial of faith. Yes, and as I said just now, perhaps there's that remembrance and that sweet time when the Lord was pleased to shine forth into the very soul and show forth the glory and the wondrousness of his salvation. And in that way it was made known unto you or I, a poor sinner. And it is that light, that is the light of men. Not all men, but those that are chosen and called. They shall know of that light. But likewise, as we said just now, there will be that trial of your faith. Yes, if we had no trial of our faith, I would have reason to believe that it was not of God. But if it's of God, there will be the trial of it, and it shall be tried. Well, my mind has often in recent times been upon Job, and I turned to Job again the other day. But oh, dear old Job, you know, he was a man that, well, Almighty God said concerning him, he walked in the fear of the Lord, if I quote it rightly. He walked in the fear of the Lord. Yes, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thine hand. Put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That which was divinely appointed, and that divine permission was given. But what a mercy if there's that living faith, as Job proved, it was to sustain him. It was to sustain him. And if it had been nothing more than a religion which was of the flesh, I believe he would have sunk to rise no more. He would have been left to curse his God and die. But oh, you read that account of Job, and as I said, much of recent times felt a little union, only a little union with Job. And you read in the 30th chapter in the 29th chapter, and he speaks as regards those months past when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. You read that in chapter 29. Then he closes to come toward the close in the 30th chapter. And he said this, when I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. Darkness. Do you know a little of those seasons of darkness? That trial of your faith. And the Lord will bring that to pass in your path by various means, whether it is afflictions, whether it is in those providential dispensations, or whatever he may bring into the path, permits it to come, and you'll find Satan there likewise at your right hand as a cruel foe. A cruel foe. And whilst we were sitting with our friends this morning, my mind went, well, I couldn't find it for a start, but my mind went to this word and I found it eventually in Psalm 104. And perhaps you've proved likewise. Yes, we know the psalm begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honour and majesty." But all that verse that seemed to come to my mind in that psalm was this. We know that in that same psalm it speaks like this. And Almighty God speaks as he moved the psalmist to speak, to write these psalms. But it's written thus. "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down." And likewise, we think upon the seasons. Those seasons, naturally, they come according to the divine appointments of Almighty God. And so likewise do those seasons come by his divine appointments into the paths of the child of God. And you'll prove, like we read in that Psalm 104, "Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth." Yes, makest those dark places, those times when there's a hiding of his face. And as well, I've had to prove many a time recently in the night season, many hours of wakefulness. But all when you find, do you not, the path appointed of trouble, of trial, of affliction and difficulty, the night seasons. The night seasons are the worst. What do you find? Many fears arise. The foe comes. And it's like these beasts of the forest that creep forth. The beasts of the forest. When you think of those beasts of the forest, well, I wouldn't want to be found in a forest in the dark, in an unknown place, for that is where there are often those beasts which are not friendly toward man. In fact, they're a danger towards man, and they would find you sooner than you know where they were. Ah, the beasts of the forest. "Thou makest darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest do creep forth." And perhaps you found it so. The beasts of the forest that creep forth, and what are those beasts? Fears and foes of every shape and form. Satan, yes, with all his agents, the old man of sin within, your unbelief, yes, your old nature. There are all these beasts of the forest that creep forth. And they come against you, do they not? Like the storm against a wall. They threaten to destroy every grace and every faith. Your little faith and all that you thought you had and you're in possession of. You're brought to this at times. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And these beasts that come forth, there'll be many of them that say, "Who will show us any good?" And in that personal way, who will show you any good? Who will do you any good? Who can do you any good in your condition, in your path, in your fears? But what a mercy if it is this, that this is a living faith within the soul, that though damned, it can never die. living faith. That's the complete opposite of that which is of the flesh, that would give way, that would fall. As I said, Job, I believe if he hadn't had that living faith within, he would have cursed his God and died. But living faith kept him from that. Ah, yes, he could say this, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's living faith. That's not of the flesh. Ah, did he not long? Yes, you read that in Job. Those out in remembrance of those times past, and he no doubt longed for once the Lord once again to be that sun of righteousness, to arise and shine with healing in his wings. He longed once again that the Lord might appear for him, and shine upon his dark, benighted path as he felt it to be, and it was so, was it not? When it seemed like even as Jacob could say of his path, all these things are against me. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Came to my mind on the Saturday, that verse in that psalm, and that psalm has been made precious to me many a time. We know it begins, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. And so there is that which is wrung out of the very soul. Those petitions, when it seems, yes, there's a great company that comes out against you, prove like Jehoshaphat in his day. Ah, yes, when that great company came out against the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem, neither know we what to do. A helpless place when you're in those times of darkness, in those times of distress, when it feels like, yes, the beasts of the forest, the beasts of the forest in that darkness have come out against, yes, crept out from every corner and surround. Ah, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And so as we read that chapter in Isaiah, do you know a little of that? Even as recorded there, it speaks of that one that, and I believe that would encompass such a one as Job. He feared the Lord. Ah, yes, it speaks here, who is among you that feareth the Lord? So there's those that are brought into that narrow way, that way of life. And yet at times it seems quite otherwise. It seems quite otherwise. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Yes, they walk in the fear of the Lord. Those have been wrought in their heart by the Spirit, and they walk, yes. They don't walk in that outward manner of evil. Well, you read that concerning Job. And what Almighty God described concerning Job, not as his friends that came to, as it were, to comfort him, they were of no comfort at all. They said that this or that must have come because of this or that he must have committed. And they seemed to add more and more troubles to him. And they seem to make the matter worse. And so he's in a very lonely place. And so it will be.
for that child of God, they find itself a lonely place. None to deliver, none to help as they feel. None to uphold, all against. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness. So it speaks of that darkness, walking in darkness, and hath no light. And perhaps we're brought into such paths of this to meet another in such a path. But what a mercy when we find also in the Word of God, there is that whereby Almighty God, has left that on record for poor trembling worm Jacobs amidst their sorrows, when it is opened up to their understanding and it gives a little light that shines in that darkness, that yes, on the one hand, everything threatens to destroy, but on the other, that little light that they're walking the paths in the footsteps of the flock. They're walking that narrow way, that way which is appointed. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? What a mercy. There is this encouragement, is there not? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, the next verse, that is what they fear. They fear sparks of their own kindling, even though it is a day of darkness. A day of great trial and tribulation, temptation, adversaries. All seems to be against. They wouldn't want to be walking in sparks of their own kindling. Where the one says, well, there is a word of God. There is a fear not, you've only got to believe it. But oh, what a mercy. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And that staying upon God, is it not this? Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. They cry unto the Lord. And the Lord hears and answers and delivers. Some week or so ago now, yes, even in this path of affliction, I've known darkness and times of light. Those times when it feels like you've hung the harp upon the willows and how shall I take it down? And there have been those times when the Lord has been pleased to draw near. And you can then take it down and sing a song of praise. But all once when, well, it seemed one thing after another. And your old nature says, well, how's it going to be? How is it going to be? What ifs and what maybes? Going back to those creeping beasts that come out in the darkness. And you find, like the hymn writer, I seem forsaken and alone and hear the lion roar. Yes, hear the lion roar. And every door is shut but one. And what a mercy that is, the door of mercy. That is mercy's door. That door of mercy. And you'll have to prove, like even this one, you're brought to that at times when you can only speak thus. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Hold thou me up. And I shall be safe. Speak the word only. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Speak. Yes. Come like this. If we're not to hear the Lord's voice, should we not be like those that go down into the pit? We long to hear the Lord's voice. We long to see once again his face. And how does the Lord do that? Is it not through his precious word? Is it not through his precious word? But all, say a couple of weeks ago now, and I have to say, he went up to the house of God and it seemed to me there's nothing. There was nothing. Came away quite cast down. And perhaps you come up to the house of God and yes, and the old adversary also says there is nothing. Therefore, where is your hope? Where is your hope? Where is your God? And so like it was, say, a couple of weeks ago or more, the Lord was pleased to draw near and bring to my remembrance one word which he spake many years ago. And what a mercy when it comes with power. And that light that shines in darkness. And it was this verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Ah, what a mercy when the Lord speaks. Then that light that shines dispels the darkness for a moment. We know it doesn't go completely. But oh, when the little light that shines into our darkness, that raises once again a hope in the very soul, that we're found amongst those we trust in that way, pressing toward the mark of that high calling, yet at times tempted. We've quite mistaken the way. But oh, when the Lord speaks like this, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, thy God." But when he speaks of "fear not," who then can make trouble? All these beasts of the forest that come out against. Yes, they threaten trouble, threaten to destroy. But oh, "fear thou not, for I am with thee." Reminds me even now as I speak, you think of those three Hebrew children that were cast into that burning fiery furnace. No doubt, according to those who looked on, it would destroy them. Destroy them. In a moment. But what was said by one that looked on? "Lo, I see four men walking loose in the midst of the fire." Loose. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Ah. And are we not then reminded of the promise, that precious promise in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews? "For he hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And also the reminder of that which the Lord spake at the end of the Matthew's Gospel. Well, the Gospel according to Matthew is not Matthew's Gospel, it's the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so those beasts may come out against you in the darkness. It may feel, yes, it's the end of everything. The end of everything. But when the Lord speaks, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." Ah, perhaps in whatever the Lord has brought upon you, has brought you to that place of utter helplessness, weaken your strength in the way. What is it to do? What is it to do? What a mercy if it's this, to lean harder upon the Lord. We read in the Song of Solomon, do we not, about that one leaning upon her beloved, coming up out of the wilderness, not leaning upon an arm of flesh, not leaning upon another, not leaning upon rotten prompts, not leaning upon self and what man may think he can do and he's able to do, when you're stripped of all that. What a mercy it is when you prove there's that one, your strength, that one you have to lean harder and harder upon. I will strengthen thee. And not only that, yea, I will help thee. And when those times of darkness come, you feel utterly, not only weak, ready to fall, but utterly helpless. Utterly helpless. I will help thee. And not only that, it goes on. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll uphold thee. May you prove it likewise, I trust. It was a strength, this one that felt to sink. Where the all-enveloping darkness seems to take hold, and none can cast off his fears himself. Well, if you can, well, I'm not one of them. I cannot take a fear, though not to myself, but what a mercy when the Lord speaks it. When the Lord, as that shepherd and bishop of your soul, speaks a fear not. Is there not then that lifting up the light of his countenance? Yes, that we read in Malachi. That which we read in Malachi. The Lord lifts up as a sun of righteousness, lifts up the light of his countenance and shines upon his people. Then is there not known and felt that healing? We don't. Well, what a mercy it's also that measure of healing naturally, but the healing of the soul, that restoration, that sweet restoration, that one that's brought to see, yes, he's not forsaken, not cast off, but are still bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Well, I had to read that those few verses I felt in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Well, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6. Well, we read there, they've been with the Lord, they've been favoured with his presence. But it was those words that also seemed to rest upon my spirit. And it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And perhaps that was a felt resonance in one or another here. They've known those times when, yes, you can come in with that, what we read in Ephesians. You've, by faith, been found amongst those that, if I can find the word, but the Lord has been pleased to come and preach peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Those that, yes, he's been pleased to draw near unto and favour them, as we said a little earlier at the beginning, knowing those times when you were dandled upon the knees, and the Lord's word was precious, and it was precious day after day. Day after day he fed you with that food convenient for your soul. But now you find like those disciples, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. now dark. So I said, it come to my mind even yesterday, even in regards to the disciples here, now dark, a time appointed. Well, we know the darkness of the night and the seasons come and go according to divine appointment. And so do those, I said, concerning those seasons in the soul, now dark, an appointed time. And then this solemn portion at the end of that, and Jesus was not come to them. Was not come to them, dark. Well, my mind went in the earlier part of, well, the latter part of last week. My mind went to Mary when she went unto the tomb. And it was dark. And not only was it dark, but the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. I'm not sure I can lay my eyes upon the portion, but you know that, yes, here it is. And we read concerning Mary. Well, she is one, was she not? Bound up in that salvation which came by Christ and was made known unto her. And she had that great love to the Lord. But Mary, we read, stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. Yes, it was dark when they went there, was it not? And she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And it does bring, does it not, that weeping within. And that hymn, 741. Where is he that died to save? Believe it's a bit more than that. I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, if I quote it correctly. Do you know a little of that? Know in those times when the Lord has been pleased to favour you in your soul, and measure that of his salvation. And like those disciples, it was now dark. And like Mary, as she was at the tomb, they went there. And we read, I think, in one of the other Gospels, it was dark. For they went there early. And so that hymn, does it not, come like this. I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, earnest asking all around her, where is he that died to save? Dying love her heart attracted. Soon she felt its rising power. He who Mary thus affected bids his mourners weep no more. But oh, Mary, she was not left. And it comes back to that precious promise of the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, even in those dark places. And blessed be God, it is in those dark places. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Yes, if you've had that sight by faith of Christ and the preciousness of Christ, and you can say he is precious, there be that felt within, weeping within, when there's that darkness and hiding of his face. She saith, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Well, like those disciples. It was now dark. And the sea arose, going back to those disciples, the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew. Well, who commands the wind? You look at that in Psalm 107. The Lord commands it. There, that one found in that place, he's buffeted, he's tossed and turned, and he feels a make shipwreck of faith. Feels it all come to nothing. And such is her unbelief, like these disciples. Ah, we can't cast a stone at the disciples here. And like it was with Mary, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But what a mercy. He knows your frame and mine. Took part of the same. He remembers that we are but dust. He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. Then we read, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither it went. So there are those times of darkness. And that felt left alone. Jesus was not come to them. It's real. And so like with Mary, when she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She longed to lay hold upon him, but unbelief. Unbelief is an infirmity to us, is it not? It's an infirmity to this poor sinner. It's an infirmity to those disciples. An infirmity, was it not, to Mary? She could not perceive through her unbelief. That, yes, unbelief. We read, unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain when the Lord speaks. When he himself speaks, and is at appointed time, when the light shines, he's purposed it so to do. So it will. And the Lord spake to her thus, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and all this, your Father, to my God and to your God. Spoken to her, yes, to the brethren, but to her personally as well. Ah, no doubt that was to the joy and rejoicing of her soul. The joy and rejoicing of her soul. And when the Lord lifts up the light of his countenance and speaks through his word, and faith is given to believe it. Ah, yes, and it's dependent upon the Holy Spirit to breathe upon that little grain of living faith and raise it once again to a flame. Ah, you'll prove the Lord will lift up the light of his countenance upon that poor sinner, you poor sinner. And I trust it's been to this poor sinner. There be many that say, yes, that company that comes out against you, those beasts that creep forth in the darkness, they say, who will show you any good? Coming in that way personally, no, the word of God says, who will show us any good? But who will show you any good? But thou art the petition, Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Ah, Yes, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And then what do we read at the end of that psalm? When it is so, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. We know it's speaking in the past tense, but oh, there's that little hope raised up. There will be a gain. And then this at the end of that psalm, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Ah, when there's that measure of that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Ah, that peace, yes, that peace which came by and through Christ and what he hath done for the poor sinner in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. When once again it's made known unto them, and it truly is then to the joy and rejoicing of their soul, none can then make trouble. None can then make trouble. Then we know a little of that which we have in that hymn, is it not, 925. That peace by his cross as Jesus made. Ah, yes, that hymn 925, peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church is everlasting head. Oh, hell and sin is victory won. And with a shout to glory gone, when o'er thy head the billows roll, the dark places. Ah, those dark shades and shades of sin obscure thy soul when, yes, all your sins, they seem once again to testify against you. Because you feel you have no hope. Where is my hope? When thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. In tribulation's thorny maze, or on the mount of sovereign grace, or in the far or through the sea, this glorious man thy peace shall be. Yea, when thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim, and at his footstool bow the knee, for Israel's God thy peace shall be. Amen.
Lord willing, Sunday school is at 2:30 at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Richard Wells is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Ian Sadler is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. And he also hopes to take Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 645. Dangerous is the path we go in this wilderness below. Savage beasts of every kind, aiming to distress the mind. Hymn 645.
to be pleased to bless thy word. Ah, maybe that word that is that light that shines in darkness. Ah, to dispel the fears, to once again raise up to a good hope. That good hope through grace, that hope which is in thee. And so may it please thee, ah, thou knowest one or another that may feel to be walking in darkness and have no light. Or may they be enabled by the blessed Spirit to wait on, to trust in the Lord and stay upon their God. And prove thee to be a helper of the helpless, ah, strength to the weak. Ah, that light that does shine. Ah, and that salvation once again to be made known. And the beauty of it in all its glory, in all its fullness, unto the worst of sinners. And so we plead, do bless thy word. Attend it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up again if we're spared at the evening hour. Grant unto us each that meditation upon thy word if it could please thee in the interval. Or it might be each found coming up to thy courts to hear what the Lord might speak. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.